An NFL legend is dead. Hall of Famer Jim Brown died Thursday at his home in Los Angeles. He was 87. In his 9 seasons playing for the Cleveland Browns in the 1950s and 60s, Brown established himself as one of the all-time great running backs. But football merely was the start of a life filled with accomplishment and controversy. Tom Goldman has this remembrance.
Jim Brown called it the most beautiful game he ever played. A blend of speed, quickness, intelligence. His abilities landed him in the Hall of Fame, the first black player inducted. For lacrosse, it seemed incongruous compared to his defining and violent sport of football, but it was a testament to his superb athleticism. Brown played 4 sports at Syracuse University. Football stuck. He told the NFL Network in 2000 he loved how the game was a constant test.
In every way, stamina-wise, mentally, courage, it pushes you to the brink. And you can either deal with it or you can't.
Jim Brown dealt with it perhaps better than any running back in the game's history.
There are defensive men in the league who have dedicated themselves, their souls and their bodies to a holy war against Jimmy Brown. None of them has yet won the crusade.
He gets 4 yards and makes it 2nd and 6 at the 35-yard line. This Jimmy Brown just sticks his head down and powers straight forward.
With his chiseled 6'2", 230-pound body, Brown sneered at the idea of running out of bounds on a play. But his rare combination of power and speed and quickness meant he didn't only run through tacklers, he zipped around them and away from them, evidenced by the long touchdown runs that fill his highlight reel. Rushing for 100 yards in a game still is a gold standard for running backs. Brown averaged more than 100 yards for each regular season game of his career. He's the only one to do that in NFL history, and he never missed a game in his 9 years in the league. The perfect running back? No. He didn't like to block, but he did like to think his way through a game. After being tackled, Brown always would get up slowly, so defenders never knew, was he hurt or not?
A little bit of playing possum.
William Roden was a New York Times sports columnist for more than 30 years.
This is it. He's had it. And he, you know, slow to get up. And then on the next play, we're just totally vanquished the defense.
Long before he wrote about Jim Brown, Roden loved watching him play and the way Brown left the game for good. It was the summer of 1966. Brown was 30, still in his playing prime. The previous year, he'd won yet another league MVP award. He was also an aspiring movie actor. That summer, he was in England shooting the World War II film, The Dirty Dozen.
That's your war, man, not mine. You don't like the Graz Major, you fight them. Me, I'll pick my own enemies.
When production was delayed, it meant Brown would be late to training camp. Cleveland owner Art Modell decided to get tough with his star and said Brown would be fined for days he missed. So, Brown got tough back. He retired. Roden, who's African-American, loved the defiant message Brown sent to his team's owner.
You're going to try to do that to me, this proud black man, screw you. And that, to me, is when his legend began to grow.
A year after his sudden retirement, Brown organized the Cleveland Summit.
9 top Negro athletes meet with Cassius Clay to discuss his anti-draft stand. They include Bill Russell, Lou Alcindor, and former pro footballer Jimmy Brown.
Heavyweight boxing champ Clay, who changed his name to Muhammad Ali, faced charges for refusing to fight in the Vietnam War. The athletes gathered in Cleveland debated Ali's stance and ultimately came together in support. The summit was considered a key moment in the history of athlete activism, and Brown would be a big part of that activism the rest of his life. But he took a different tack. He didn't believe in the power of marching and protest. In a 2010 interview, Brown said he admired civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., but disagreed with King's strategy of passive resistance.
I thought economic development and a sense of cultural power would be a better way to fight because capitalism in America was riding high.
In 1988, Brown started a foundation called A Mayor I Can. Its mission was to stop gang violence in Southern California, his home, and in the process, give troubled young Black people tools to reach the goals of economic development and cultural power. Brown's house became the scene of peaceful gang meetings between the notorious Crips and Bloods. Akilah Sherrills went to some of the meetings. He was one of many who embraced Brown's A Mayor I Can message.
Jim had the program, A Mayor I Can. He laid out to us what the concept was, and immediately we kind of reacted to it because we considered ourselves Black nationalists. So he was like, A Mayor I Can. We was like, American, we ain't Americans, man, we Africans. He said, I tell you what. He said, you give me an opportunity to show you a different way of going about doing business, a different way about living your life, and I promise you, you will never have to worry about, you know, sustaining yourself economically, taking care of your families, and taking care of your community for the rest of your life.
There was, in Jim Brown's life, a troubling irony. He effectively preached to others about empowerment and personal responsibility, but Brown appeared to ignore those ideals in multiple abusive relationships with women.
Police arrested the 63-year-old legendary Cleveland Brown star at his Hollywood home for allegedly threatening to kill Monique and smashing her car windows with a shovel.
Between 1965 and 2000, Jim Brown was accused, tried, and even jailed once for multiple incidents of sexual and physical assault. Through the years, he would blame the incidents on inaccurate media accounts.
A lot has to do with things I've done. A lot has to do with things I've been accused of. But most of it has to do with the reporting of those things.
But in his memoir, Out of Bounds, Brown admitted he'd slapped women and, quote, I never should have. I don't start fights, but sometimes I don't walk away from them. For Roden, this flawed part of Jim Brown's history was another lesson learned.
Admire the political stuff, admire his work with gangs, but also realize he had to hold him accountable for this other part.
A 2006 book about Jim Brown was titled The Fierce Life of an American Hero. Taking the full measure of Brown leaves one nodding at a fierce life, fierce and often triumphant and meaningful. But the hero part? Perhaps not. Tom Goldman, NPR News.